You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Welcome to Top Shelf Tuesday. I don't know why I butchered that already. Top Shelf Tuesday, most hated NHL players. We are going to have a lot of fun on this show, and I know our people in the comments in the chat are going to have a lot of fun chiming in with some names from the past as well. We got a bunch of news to get to before we get to that, but first I want to introduce the panel. Greg Boysen in the middle, Mario Tirabassi on the left. I'm Jay Zawoski. Thanks for jumping in.
And I'm Shadow Stevens in the bottom middle.
And Lawrence is providing traffic updates on the eights every.
And Don Pardo behind the. I think we should rename Top Shelf Tuesday Top Temp Tuesday because this is the second Tuesday in a row when we had triple digits.
Like, yeah, it was. It was definitely a shorts temptation day for me. But then I couldn't find any clean ones. So I'm wearing slightly less dirty jeans.
Slightly less dirty. That's fine.
I just wish we could have these 100-degree days on Thursdays and Fridays when we would do our show remotely.
Yeah, from my 40-degree basement.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
You know, would be nice.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It's summer in Chicago. I'll take this over tornadic winds and rain.
Happy summer solstice.
It's officially summer
solstice. Yeah. Yeah. Coming in with a bang.
Yeah, well, yeah, it always does.
Here's 100 degrees. Yeah.
Yeah, so, all right, we got a lot to get to today. So last night, speaking of the heat, I was coaching a softball game, and all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Apparently, I'll let you guys sort of explain what happened. Kevin Weeks had some news, then he didn't.
Kevin Weeks believed he had news, so he was getting ready for Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final last night. He was outside the men's room at Amalie Arena, and he had announced breaking news that the Blackhawks were hiring Ryan Huska, a former draft pick by the Blackhawks and former head coach at both the WHL and AHL levels. He's currently an assistant with the Calgary Flames. I think I, like most people, was like, that's completely out of left field.
Yes.
And shortly after, maybe, I don't know, 5-10 minutes it might have been, Weeks' video was taken down, or he took it down, deleted it. And, it really didn't seem right, you know. It was a coach that was just kind of off the board, hadn't been connected by anyone else. And so, I ended up talking to two people who are close to the situation, close to the coaching search with the Blackhawks, in the know, and they both said no truth to the report. One said that Huska had not been interviewed. One went as far as to say he is not a candidate. So take that for what you will, but it doesn't seem like Ryan Huska is in the plans for the Blackhawks. Kevin Weeks later then, a few minutes later, came out and said, hey, I had announced some news. I guess that's not the case, but the coaching search is still in its process. And it's just like, so it kind of just came out as, hey, they're still searching, and sorry about putting out the wrong information.
Yeah. When it first came out, he had Husk, not Huska.
So yeah, he said maybe, Ryan Husk.
I thought was maybe like, he deleted it because he had the typo.
Yeah.
And then
I thought that for sure, yeah.
You were told by two people that are very trustworthy that this is a nothing burger.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back. A very rare misstep from one of the most reliable guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
It happens to everybody.
I can't. Right. He's hit on pretty much everything that he makes a video for. So when he came out and did his whole spiel, I was like, wow, this seems very legitimate.
Right.
And then it ended up not being the
case. Rare misstep. I will give. I'm a big fan of Kevin Weeks. I wanted the Hawks to consider him.
I love his work.
Manager, yeah. President position, even. I will give him credit for this. Yes, he made a mistake. He owned it.
Yeah.
But a hell of a use of the word fluid standing outside of a men's room. I give him credit for that.
It was a good video.
Fluid situation outside of a crowded men's room is top notch in my world. Yeah. So I'll give him credit for that. Good.
Well, and I would say to people, because I saw a lot of people then, you know, online last night saying, oh, well, what kind of coach is he? What do you know about him? And to me, from who I talk to, it really seems like we don't need to waste much breath worrying about Ryan Huska, because it just, to me, does not feel like he is on the radar.
Yeah. When our sources say he hasn't been interviewed and one says he's not a candidate, I don't think we need to worry much about him.
Yeah.
I agree. However, for a guy as plugged in as Kevin Weeks, for this name to just fly out of the blue... And it's probably, if he's comfortable enough to go make a video about it, he's gotten it from a source that he believes is legitimate and he's comfortable with going. Most journalists wait until they have two sources, which is what you did last night, which is what I did with the Barry Trotz news that I heard. One person told me, I sought it out with another and confirmed. Great, then I'm comfortable going with it. I don't know if Kevin did that as well. Maybe he's got a source he trusts so much he doesn't have to do that, which is fine. I just find it odd that out of the blue, he creates a video, that's a name, and all of a sudden it's like, no, not a candidate at all. It's just weird. And I'm not saying that sources are lying to us or whatever, and I do think there's probably nothing to this, but it's just very strange. Like, had he said Luke Richardson, it could have been, oh, I misheard you. You told me they interviewed him. I thought you said they hired him. My bad. But Ryan Huska is a name we've not heard at all before.
Right.
And in any way, shape, or form, and all of a sudden he's making a video that has happened, there's like a sliver of a percentage of for me that I'm like, maybe there's a little something there. Maybe he's on the radar as an assistant or something like that. For those that don't know, Huska was drafted by the Blackhawks. Didn't have much of an NHL career. When I say not much, one game.
Yep. One more than I ever played.
One more, yes. Most recently played for the Springfield Falcons in 99-2000. He has been an assistant with Calgary since 2018. He was a head coach of the Stockton Heat before then and the Kelowna Rockets before then. Long run in Kelowna. Was it 7 years? So he's got some coaching experience, not head coaching experience in the NHL. But, yeah, there's probably nothing to this, but just the randomness of all of it. Yeah. Has me like, ooh, a little suspicious. I got the foil hat on a little bit.
Yeah, but can we talk about Weeks' beautiful jacket? I mean, look at that. The minty.
He's one of the best in the business.
Yeah. Minty chocolate chip.
Fantastic style.
I needed some ice cream after looking at that. Love the men's
room.
Looks
like he's on his way to a Morris Day in the Time concert. That's fantastic.
I have to say, the Turner ESPN switch, the wardrobe has also improved. You've got Bissonnette always has some sort of funky looking suit on. They're all kind of trying to one-up each other on the thing.
Wayne Gretzky has resurrected the sweater vest.
Yes, he has. That you know what? I got to say, Wayne is not fat, but that is a fat guy go-to. The sweater vest, you can rock that in any, I mean, you know, like any sort of formal occasion. If your shirt's not really fitting right or you know you're going to sweat too much, the sweater vest is a perfect go-to.
Right, well, I think opening night, I will wear a sweater vest over one of my Roosevelts.
There you go.
I'm totally on board with the clothing gimmick, obviously.
They've got to get into the Roosevelts, got to get into the sweater vest game.
That's money I can't afford to be giving them right now. Wait till I get my endorsement deal. Then they can roll out the sweater vest.
There you go. We got to work on that, man.
I'm trying.
We got to work on that.
They're wear.
There is a sales position open for the Chicago region of all cities. So sign up. If you're a salesperson,
there you go.
Sign up and get Greg that endorsement. That's your first job.
Yeah.
Oh, we should mention, by the way, allchgo.com in the Chicago locker. Sweet new designs. Skyline. I know Lawrence is pulling it up right there.
Hold on. Let's just
absolutely
this
beautiful.
This is the CHGO 2022 summer.
The summer collection.
There's the skyline.
That looks fantastic.
Shirt. I love that shirt.
Look at that bean.
I had four or five people reach out to me and say, hey, how can I get one of those? I'm like, the link?
Seriously,
do you think I have like a case of them in my car? Like, that's not the case.
There's this thing called the internet.
Well, I had to pay for it. You had to pay for it, pal.
Yeah.
But I did. I ordered myself one. My wife got the new Cubs one, the Hey Chicago, What Do You Say shirt, and then the White Sox one. Is the old English font, the South Side Bias. Those all look fantastic.
And did you notice that we actually did it correctly, unlike the White Sox? It's South Space, capital S, Side. Like their jersey. That's just South Side.
Ah, yes.
Which is incredible.
They look awesome. I love all three of them. Nice. I have two of them. I'm not a Sox fan, so I will not be getting that one. But
you will be playing one on TV tomorrow.
I'll be playing one on TV tomorrow when we go to the tailgate.
Yeah, we all will.
The CHGO tailgate. And if you're interested in that, go to the CHGO Sports Twitter page at CHGO_sports. And I got to see how many tickets are left. But jump on and join us tomorrow.
I'm sure
at the
we
White
can
Sox
find
game.
Some room for you at, yeah. at the
yeah,
G spot.
I think like
to
all the
out.
All the tickets have been purchased for our little deal. But definitely, yes. if you're going to the
come
game, please come hang. Yeah. We'll be in Lot B.
Lot B, I believe. Find us. We've got our awesome new banners. And
yeah, you'll see.
We'll
the
be
big.
Easy to find and come say hello, and we'll say hello.
Yeah,
back.
the three of us will be there. So
four of us.
And I think
I count.
Four of us.
Lawrence
will
four,
be there too.
Of course. Lawrence has to be there.
It'll be hard to miss.
I'm sure our awesome White Sox guys will be there.
Yep, White Sox crew will be there. We got some awesome
Sean.
CHGO banners. Will be hard to miss. Although they are black and white, they might blend in pretty blend into the Sox Sox colors.
Just
there,
smell
but, yeah,
the delicious Weber Grill
well,
meats. That
that's
are
the other thing you mentioned to me before the show today, Lawrence. In the description of the podcast, there's a link. If you're in the market for a Weber Grill, like I am, if you use our link, you save using their link. So go to our podcast descriptions. There's a Weber link in there. Use that link, and you can save on your purchase. And it obviously helps us out a little bit because Weber is bringing us grills to the tailgate to use to cook for everybody. So it's going to be awesome.
Cooking, we're going to be grilling up some encased meats tomorrow.
That's exactly right.
Can't wait.
That's how they got me to go.
That's how I'm going.
Yep.
I've not been to the G-Rate or the Joan, as you called it earlier today, Joan. Lawrence.
That's right. U.S. Cellular.
Shout out to Joan.
I haven't been there in years.
I've been dreaming of churros since this event was announced, so I can't wait. It's going to be a good time.
I'm excited to check out the Craft Cave, which... You know, that's where the nice, tasty beers they have. I don't really know what beers. I haven't been to the Cell or the G-Rate or whatever we're calling
Comiskey.
It. Comiskey? G-Spot. Yeah, Comiskey 2.
Sox Park, my friend.
Yes, Sox Park.
I still call it Kaminsky incorrectly.
I think it's been like 6
Kyle
years
Kaminsky.
For me since I've been there. So
yeah.
It should be warm. It should be sunny. It should
I'm
a good
glad
time.
It will not. It was not today.
Yeah.
It will be tomorrow, which I think is going to be like mid-80s.
Yeah.
Still pretty toasty,
oh, but
not
it's gonna
triple
be
digits.
Beautiful, yeah.
All right, before we get to the Cup Finals, we should also introduce our newest feature on our set, the
Done
He
it.
Who Shall Not Be Named Swear Jar. We threw our money in that we owe from mentioning the name of the former Blackhawks GM.
Yes. So
it will remain on set as we do shows, and we'll add money to it as that name comes up.
Every time that name is uttered, we will have to throw in a dollar.
Yes.
And then we're gonna figure out a fun charity, and maybe by like opening night, we'll donate
and then
we'll
maybe replenish.
Yeah, and we'll do a fun little. Where we'll send a link out and you can donate to that cause too.
Yeah.
And we'll do it for a worthy cause. Maybe, you know, every month once the season starts, or whenever it's full.
Although
we donate
I'll say
it.
This, I hope we don't have to send any charity too much money because just stop talking about that guy.
You would think.
You'd think, but you know.
I'm hoping by the regular season we're not talking about him.
Well, then
anymore.
we can name it something else. I like the idea of raising money every month for a worthy cause here in Chicago. There's lots of them that need our help.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to start with the Stanley Cup or the Calder Cup. Where do you guys want to start today?
Let's go with the Calder Cup.
Let's do it. Greg, you were there?
Yeah, it was a one-sided game. The Wolves, yeah, pretty much. Wolves 6-2 win. That was a theme in hockey last night. They, after losing in overtime, game one, they blew a 4-2 third period lead, lost in overtime. They were up 4-0 before the game was even 10 minutes old. Richard Panik, we remember him. He scored the opening goal. He's got 2 goals in as many games. Some fun stuff that happened in that game. Josh Levo had 2 power play goals. He has 13 playoff goals right now, which set the Wolves' all-time franchise record for the most goals in a single playoff.
That's a team in the playoffs a lot, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. Lots of playoff, lots of really good players, and he's got the most. Fun stat that I love, Stephen Nason had 4 assists last night. It was the first 4-assist game in a Calder Cup final since 2012 when Corey Conacher did it. Corey Conacher that night for the Norfolk Admirals, his first assist of the four was picked up on a Richard Panik goal.
Wow.
Last night, Stephen Nason's first assist was picked up on a Richard Panik goal.
Look at that.
I love stuff like that.
That's awesome.
That's like,
that's incredible.
And mundane sports stats. And that made me happy when Lindsay Wilhite, the great PR guy for the Wolves, walked over and told me that stat. It's like, that's something that you put in a game recap.
That's anytime awesome. Something like that happens, my daughter says, Illuminati confirmed. I said, Addie, that's just a coincidence. It is not the Illuminati.
But the most interesting thing to come out of that whole game, yes, the Wolves won 6-2. It was a pretty comfortable win. Springfield got 2 goals late in the second period to make it 5-2. And the post game, talking to Wolves head coach Ryan Rosofsky, I had asked him what was the message in between the second and third period after giving up those 2 goals. And he got spicy. He got hot.
Like, yes.
You could see I'd hit a nerve. And I thought he was about to go in on his players for maybe taking their foot off the gas. And he went right after the officiating. There was a sequence that led to Springfield's first goal where 2 Wolves players, Josh Jacobs and Andrew Podorowski, got in a post-whistle scrum. They were both called for roughing. No penalty was called on Springfield. So they got a 5-on-3 for 2 minutes, and that's when they scored their first goal. And he basically said, you guys go watch that again. Tell me what we did that put us down 5-3. We're up 5-0, and we're down 2 men for no reason. He called the officiating an absolute joke.
Yeah,
he said he was a loss for words. He was shocked. He then went on and expanded and said these players work their whole lives to play in a series like this, and it's a shame that they couldn't get better officiating for a game that important. So I've talked to him a lot over the last 2 years, and he is a very passionate, very intense guy. I've never seen him. I've interviewed him after his team's lost 6-0, and he wasn't that mad. His team won 6-2 in the damn championship series, and he was hot. I would imagine his next paycheck is probably going to be a little light. The other thing, I forgot to mention it yesterday when we were talking about Calder Cup, but I was told from a reliable source close to the Wolves that Wasowski has at least 1 NHL interview.
Interesting.
For once this series is over. I'm not going to speculate on what team it's with. I have no idea, but we know the teams that are still looking for head coaches. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy that's starting to become on radar. I don't know if he's going to get a job this quickly, but he's definitely a guy that's going to start. He's won an ECHL championship. He's won an AHL championship as assistant. He's 3 wins away from winning one this year. He's got that John Cooper kind of pedigree to the NHL.
Yeah.
And these are the type of guys that need to start getting more looks, not, you know, John Tortorella and Pete
DeBoer. Need to retread him.
Yeah. So, interesting little tidbit to come out of there. We'll see what comes out of that.
I like that he said, I'm at a loss for words, and here are a bunch of words.
Here are 300 words and how bad these officials were.
Here are,
I found them. Here they are.
It was a dominating win.
Absolutely. So it's 1-1. The series goes back for the next 3 games in Springfield, so it's going to be tough. Springfield has not lost on a home ice yet in the postseason, and they had the most regular season home wins in the AHL, too. So it's a tough place.
Tough
they call
place
it the Thunderdome.
Win. Thunderdome.
Tough,
nice.
Tough place to win. Wolves have to win at least one of them to get the series back to Chicago for the last 2 games. But the way they played last night, it might not be coming back because the Wolves win the next 3. So we'll
see. Could be.
Nice. And Pyotr Kochetkov, his legend grows as he once again tried to fight a forward, much like he did in the playoffs for the Hurricanes with Brad Marchand. Will Bitton got a little too close for comfort in the crease, and he literally chased him to the corner and punched him in the face.
Love
it. It was
nice.
Great.
Sign him.
Yes.
Nice.
Bring him here. Hurricane
fans love him, and rightfully so. Great goalie, and he will punch a guy.
Love that. Well, when we get to our most hated player segment, I'm sure some of those guys will come up as well.
Oh, yeah.
All right, then we've got the Stanley Cup Final, Game 3. Everyone's writing off. Adam Hogue asked me yesterday during the CHGO Bear Show, are the Avs going to sweep? No.
No, they're
shame
not.
On anybody who thought no. that. Yeah. Although that thought was starting to creep in my head after 7-0.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Lightning are Michael Myers. They're Jason Voorhees. Every time you think you've killed them, they pop back up and go in for at least one more murder. So that's what we're dealing with.
And it's one thing to bounce back with a win. It's another thing to bounce back with a 6-2 win.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
especially coming back from a 7-0 loss.
Yeah.
To come back and put it back on.
And they
gave
up the opening goal that game twice. One of them was called back after a really lengthy review on a play that was kind of obvious. The puck left the zone. Reviews. And then they gave up another goal, and they're down 1-0, and you're like, uh-oh. And they go up 3-1. They get the Avs come back to make it 3-2, and you're thinking, this is going to be a little – and then they took off from there.
Yep.
Some interesting stuff happened. Kucherov got hurt towards the end of that game. A little cross-check.
That looks weird.
From Devin Taves. Yeah,
just the way his leg went under him was – I don't know. Hopefully he's okay, because that's a game-changer. But
it's huge.
It just – it was – when I saw it on replay, it just kind of looked not great.
No.
You know, like,
one of those weird, awkward, where your body's not supposed to bend
exactly.
That way.
Right. Yeah. And you probably missed it in real time, but then they did a good job finding it on the replay, and you saw cross-check, and it drove the hip down, and it almost caused him to do, like, a half split on his knee, and he went off the ice immediately. So
John Cooper said this morning, the Lightning coach, that he thinks Kucherov will be able to play game four, but he also called Braden Point doubtful for game four. But considering they're 0-2 with him in the lineup and 1-0 without him in the lineup in this series, maybe that's not the worst thing in the world. If Kucherov can't play, that's huge. But I would think anything minus an amputation, he'll be in the lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. It was an awkward injury. And if he's out, I mean, that's a huge loss for Tampa. And, you know, that last night we talked about it, on yesterday's show. Last night pretty much had to be a must win for them, because you can't – this Avalanche team, if you're down 0-3, you're done.
Yeah,
and
you're
even if you are the Tampa Bay Lightning. But being able to come back and get the win in that game kept them alive, kept the series pretty much wide open, because we saw what they did against the Rangers. Obviously, the Avs aren't the Rangers, but what they did against the Rangers to come back after being down 0-2 and get the next four to get to this point. I mean, Tampa Bay is a very capable team.
You're not
a back-to-back defending champ for no reason.
No, they're like those Blackhawk Cup teams that like from game after game three, games 4, 5, 6, 7, they get better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened in the last series.
Crunch time.
You can argue now that game four is a must win for Colorado. Because
if it goes back to
Colorado 2-2, they have zero momentum.
Zero momentum. I mean, even with
a 3-1 lead, I don't feel 100% comfortable, but I feel a lot better with that than 2-2.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I'm just surprised we've seen so many blowouts. I mean, it's only been three games, but it's just I expect this to be real tight. And maybe some track meets now and there, but I didn't think 7-0 and 6-2 in consecutive games.
Well,
I did not predict that at all.
Our guest Liam McHugh yesterday said, "Hey, it's Darcy Kuemper. Maybe start getting it to him," and he got pulled.
Yeah.
I would like to see some tighter games as the series continues here. But yeah, I mean, if it's back and forth, you know, each team is going to have their night, like we've seen in the last two games. I don't know. That would feel a little bit more disappointing, even if we get six or seven games out of it. If none of them are close, it's a different feeling to the series. So I'm hoping for some closer games here, some more down to the wire, late third period, and
give us
someone's
one of them,
biting their
give
nails.
Us a triple overtime classic already. Come
that
on.
Sounds fun.
Yeah,
I'm down for that.
Yes.
All right. Before we get to our Top Shelf Tuesday most hated players topic, Mario sent the three of us a text today and said, "Hey, did you guys realize the NHL awards are tonight?" And no, sure didn't.
Kind of went over the head there.
Oh, yeah. That's a thing.
That whole thing. So that's happening tonight. So we're going to try our hand at predicting the Hart, Calder, Norris, and Vezina trophies. Where do you want to start, fellas?
Let's go with the Calder.
Let's go with the Calder. All right.
Talk
that sounds good.
Calder trophy comes down to three finalists, Detroit's Moritz Seider, Toronto's Michael Bunting, and Anaheim's Trevor Zegras. I think this goes to Moritz Seider.
It should.
And I think it'll be very tight in when the voting comes out. I think it'll be very tight between between him and Zegras. But really, all three have a legitimate case to it. But I'm going with Seider.
Bunting is there because of where he played and who he played with. I don't want to take away anything from him, but, you know, playing with Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews, put your stick on the ice, get 20-something goals. Great effort, but, I mean, what Seider did with Detroit, playing that position as well as he did, I mean, that was the best rookie. And Zegras was fantastic, too, but I think because of what Seider was able to do as a rookie defenseman, super impressive. That's mm-hmm. my pick.
Yeah, I want him to win. I think he deserves to win. However, I think Zegras had so many high-profile moments that he's going to win the award. I think that there's a lot of times where people that have voting rights for awards don't necessarily watch the sport as much as they should, and they will go with the most popular or the most highlighted player, and that is Trevor Zegras. It might be the most highlighted player, aside from McDavid and McKinnon, in the league this year because of some of the incredible goals he's pulled off. I want it to be Seider. It should be Seider. I'm going to predict that Trevor Zegras wins the award.
Interesting. I wouldn't be outraged if that happened.
No, I didn't take anything away from him.
I wouldn't be surprised either for the exact point you said. I mean, he had the most noteworthy highlights throughout the year, but just consistently being one of the top young players, I think Seider should be the winner. But
yep.
But yeah, to your point, I wouldn't be surprised if Zegras ends up winning that one.
All right, the Norris Trophy for best defenseman. The perpetual candidate, Victor Hedman, is there from Tampa. Roman Josi from Nashville. And, of course, Cale Makar from Colorado.
Cale Makar,
I think, even though this award takes nothing from the postseason, all the voting is closed before the postseason starts, I think what we've seen this season, and especially in the postseason, there's no doubt Cale Makar is the best defenseman, top to bottom in the league.
I only worry that Roman Josi, he led all defensemen in points, and Roman Josi is a great player. It has been for a long time. I just hope it's not like, well, he's been really good for a long time, so we're going to give him the Norris as kind of like a career achievement award.
Well, he's already got one.
He's got one.
Okay, well, he doesn't. He's,
good. He's got one. Hedman's got one.
Yeah.
It's
Makar.
Deserves it.
There's no defenseman better because he's been a dynamic offensively, but he's also really good defensively mm-hmm. too. And Hedman is a guy like Duncan Keith. We've just taken for granted how good he is.
And you know who's going to be the next one like that? Cale Makar.
Right.
He's going, this guy again, right. Well, and he's going to miss Norris's. He should probably
win. We're
going
to get into that with the Hart Trophy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People are going, Cale Makar again. That's boring. We can't have him win it again.
Cale Makar is probably going to get a couple of Hart Trophies before it's all said
You're
and done.
You're probably correct about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Maybe
wouldn't
as soon as next year. Who knows?
For the Vezina, for the finest goalie, Jacob Markstrom from Calgary, Juicy Saros from Nashville, and Igor Shesterkin from the Rangers. This is the easiest pick of all time. It is Igor Shesterkin.
When you're a Vezina finalist and also a Hart Trophy finalist, why are we even having Vezina finalists?
Exactly right.
It's mm-hmm. Igor Shesterkin. Juicy Saros had a great regular season. Didn't play in the playoffs. Not that that matters for this award. Jacob Markstrom had a really good regular season, but he kind of wet himself a bit in the playoffs.
Yep.
So Shesterkin was the best goalie from day one to the end of the regular season. He was the reason the Rangers were as good as they were. He was the reason the Rangers got to within two wins of the Stanley Cup final.
Yep.
He's worthy of a Hart Trophy nomination, so he's the surefire Vezina. There's no discussion.
Yeah. Once you put the Vezina nominee in the Hart category,
just give him
you
the
have
award,
to give right? him the award by definition, right? Mm-hmm. So the other Hart finalists, Austin Matthews from Toronto and Connor McDavid from the Oilers. I mean, I think it all depends on how you define the MVP, and it has been recently defined as the best player. Not the most valuable to their team, but the best. However you define this, to me the answer is Connor McDavid either way.
Connor McDavid should win, but I think Austin Matthews will win because he plays in Toronto. You score 60 for Toronto.
60 is solid.
You're going to, and I'm not taking him away.
Yeah.
But just watch, and I know it's a regular season award, but watch the playoffs and tell me which guy is more valuable to their team.
Right.
Connor McDavid put the Edmonton Oilers on his freaking back and took them to the Western Conference Finals. Austin Matthews hasn't been out of the first round yet, and that's not his fault.
Right.
There's a lot of blame to go around there, but you take Austin Matthews off the Maple Leafs, they're probably still a wild card team. They got enough talent. You take Connor McDavid off the Oilers, they're drafting in the top three.
They're the Hawks.
Yeah. pretty much.
Right? Are they that Draisaitl bad? Is Patrick Kane.
Are they that bad without McDavid, yes. though?
Yes.
That bad?
Yes.
Picking in the lottery?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. All right.
Maybe I mean, not lottery, but I think they're this year's Blackhawks.
Well, they would be a lottery, technically a lottery team, because they wouldn't make the playoffs.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, but I'm not saying like
I would think they'd be they would have a top five pick if without yeah. Connor McDavid, because who else is there? Is Leon Draisaitl? Leon Draisaitl is great, but he's not a one man guy. He's not a
no.
And you know,
he's an MVP.
Evander Kane doesn't do what he does without Connor McDavid. Who else is carrying that team? Zach Cassian, Zach Hyman. Come on,
Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Darnell Nurse. I mean, they haven't.
But you could do this like Alex DeBrincat, Seth Jones.
That's our Dylan Strome, you know.
All right.
I don't see
I mean,
that.
It's an interesting conversation. I think McDavid is the most talented player in the league, the best player. Most valuable to his team. I don't disagree with that. But I do think that the Oilers wouldn't be that terrible without him, but to the same point, you take Austin Matthews out, the Maple Leafs also wouldn't be that terrible without Austin Matthews. So
I think
for this award, and I know you can say, oh, the Ted Lindsay is there. It's voted on by the Players Association, not by the same people who vote on the other awards. So there's a different connotation to the award. I think there needs to be a specific most valuable to your team and then most outstanding in the season, because you could say, oh, clearly then, you know, a 60 goal season in this NHL, that's the most outstanding achievement. But the most valuable was Connor McDavid to his team based off of, I don't know, whatever you want to generate it or however you want to decide it. It's a really weird award this year, because then you say, well, you take out Igor Shesterkin, and what do the Rangers do? Do they even make the playoffs?
Yeah, maybe like, not.
So it's all three guys are super deserving. I think for a goalie to win MVP in this day and age, it has to be such an incredible season that you have to outweigh the guy who scores the most points or the most goals or, you know, what have you. And I don't know if there's – there's a goalie that could do that in this NHL, the way that you know awards are voted on and the way that how good players are, which is a disservice. But I think it's kind of like in baseball, where you know can a pitcher be an MVP if they're playing every fifth day, or you know a goalie doesn't play 82 games, so it's a really interesting trio. I think all of them have a case for it. I bet on Austin Matthews using the PointsBet app, and I think it's going to cash. I don't know. I think there's so much like back and forth debate about it, and between him and McDavid, and I think McDavid's already won. I do think, unfortunately, for the award's sake, that Toronto media will favor Austin Matthews.
Playing in Toronto will get you more votes than playing.
Yeah, it's just such a weird year, because neither one of them are definitive enough that where you can say, oh yeah, 100%.
There's probably a bit of an element too of, look, this is probably McDavid's award for the next decade.
Could be.
And this season for Matthews, like he probably deserves one too, and this is probably the way you justify is like, look, he had a 60 goal year in Toronto with a ton of pressure on them this year. So this is the year we give it to Matthews, because McDavid's going to have so many other chances to win it. This is his best argument against McDavid is this season.
Right.
So give it to him now. None of the three would surprise me.
I'm trying to look it up here. Matthews missed a pretty decent portion of the season, didn't he? I mean, not a lot of the season, but he missed a significant amount. These are the playoff stats.
He played 73 games this year.
73. Okay, I thought it was more than that. But anyways, yeah, 60 goals in 73 games. Like, if he had played a full season, we're talking maybe 64, 65 goals. Mm-hmm. Like, that hasn't been done since, I think, what was Ovechkin in 07 had 65, and before that it was, you had to go back to the 90s.
Yeah, back to the 90s. Yeah, of course.
So,
yep.
Yeah, it was an incredible season. McDavid obviously had an incredible season. I think there's... Neither pick is wrong, but I don't think either one of them is unquestionably right.
No, right. I think the debate will be there, and there's no wrong answer. All three of those guys are worthy of it.
Right.
You know, in any other season, those performances standing alone would be worthy of it. The problem is you had three amazing performances.
Three all
in
all this year,
so
yeah.
There's no wrong answer. So that's probably the one that will have the most drama. The rest are kind of, we kind of figure
I think it'll be Matthews. I'm like barely on the side of I think he deserves it because Connor McDavid is just so good. Yeah. But I don't know. I hate to say I'm jaded to Connor McDavid's skill, but yeah, to your point, like with how many MVPs could he win in his career? Yeah. I think that plays against him because it's like, oh, he could win 10. But if he only wins, what, 2, 3? It's just like, well, wait, why?
If you can't beat McDavid for this award with 60 goals, then you might as well just pencil in McDavid for the next 12.
Exactly.
All right, we've been nice enough this show. Let's get into some hatred.
It's time to start.
Hate.
The first annual Player Haters Ball on CHGO Blackhawks.
Should we get our wonderful sponsors in before we start spewing?
Yes. By the way, Herb's going to yell at me for saying first annual. Inaugural Player Haters Ball.
I think he's not here.
Sorry. The best way to support us at CHGO Sports is to download the PointsBet app. When you do, use the code CHGO. If you do that now, you're going to get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000, but that's not all. Make a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet, and you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. 2 grand in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free t-shirt from the CHGO locker. All that for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. It's your home for live in-play betting, and it just got even better. If you see an edge in the game you're watching, is your favorite team playing for a comeback? Don't just watch the game. Bet along with it live. More live betting, more live markets, and faster live cash outs. See why consumers say PointsBet has been the fastest with their live bets. Follow along with your bets from the moment they're made and stay with it all game long. And download the PointsBet app. Use that code CHGO. You can download start to finish from your phone in Illinois. So make sure you do that. So what are you waiting for? It's time to elevate your betting game. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
And to help yourself and CHGO, pick up some Athletic Greens and their AG1 product. It is formulated to improve your gut health, optimize your immune system, and give you more natural energy. In just one scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. And if you have different dietary restrictions, whether it's gluten-free or dairy-free or vegan or paleo, whatever it is, with AG1, you're good to go. Easy to incorporate into your life no matter how busy you are. A small once-a-day habit with big benefits. And right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop of AG1 in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. Make it easy. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is go to athleticgreens.com/CHGOBlackhawks. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/CHGOBlackhawks. Take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
And don't forget, go to allchgo.com to check out those new shirt designs. They're on your screen right now. If you're a member, if you're not a member, go to that CHGO locker, buy some merch. It helps us out as well. All right, it is Top Shelf Tuesday. Merch. It is time to discuss the NHL players we hate the most. And boy, the list is long and lengthy. It's hard for me to say this guy is the one I hated the most.
I got to be honest. I had a little too much fun just like finding photos of these assholes and like putting them on full screens for you. So we got a lot of full screens to get through here if you want.
Word to the wise, if you see our producer Lawrence out in the street, cross the street. He's warm. He's angry. He's
a little toasty.
His memories of hatred flowing through him. He's going to punch somebody before this day is over.
Surfing on the chat says the most hated GM list starts and ends with he who shall not be named. See, I'm not going to say who that is because if I did, I'd have to put a dollar in the jar, and I'm not going to say that name.
Well, this topic we thought of this topic because I sent out a tweet during game two of the Stanley Cup final when Corey Perry was being Corey Perry and running in the goalies and then leaning on guys' ankles. I was, oh, I'm just getting up. So I sent out a tweet that said, you know, nothing unites hockey Twitter quite like hatred for Corey Perry. And it's gotten hundreds of likes and people agree. So that's why we were like, hey, this sounds like something we should talk about on this Tuesday. And here we are. And Corey Perry.
Sorry, there it is.
Tops the list of current players.
Oh, I think so.
Like
one of the more universal.
There's like
hatred.
Like I have a buddy that lives in Dallas, and he replied to this tweet saying, "I hated him even when he played for my team, and he's a Stars fan." And he's like,
"Yeah."
And the thing about Corey Perry is a lot of these guys. There he is leaning on the ankle of I can't remember what Colorado player it was.
JT Compher,
that's what it was. Yeah.
Northbrook's own.
Exactly. So, you know, he's just one of those guys that and he's also one of those guys that you got to remember he's a former Hart Trophy winner.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to be a dick because he's really good. He's scored 40 goals and yet he and that's you could say that about Brad Marchand, another guy that a lot of people hate. He's doesn't need to do that because he's a really good hockey player. You can get guys of the past, your Ty Domi's and guys like that weren't ever going to score a lot of goals, but these guys are really good hockey players and they hurt their team by doing this stuff and being taken off the ice for 2 minutes at a time.
So I don't mind a pest. There are some people that are great at getting the opponent off their game with little stuff, like maybe slapping a stick out of their hands after a whistle or things like that.
But or licking their face.
He's a master of that.
Yes, and I'm sure if this was being done in DNVR or PHNX, Dave Bowen's name would come up a lot.
If this was done in Vancouver,
yes, absolutely, absolutely. And there were things that we kind of turned a blind eye to because he was our guy and we loved the rat. But, you know, it's when you get to the cheap shot stuff and you mentioned Marchand's a great call. Like, these guys don't have to play that way, but some guys need to find that edge to stay engaged and stay motivated and stuff. And hey, it's been working for them. Corey Perry has been playing for 100 years. I loathe the guy. Yeah. That's like the one time you saw Marian Hossa be like, don't make me end you on the ice right now. When Perry was like pulling on Hossa's stick and Hossa's like, what are you doing, dude? Do you know who I am? Do you know that I can summon lightning from the heavens and kill you right now? Like, you never saw Hossa react to anybody that way. And Corey Perry was the one guy to really get under Hossa's skin during his time. Ooh, bad phrasing about, sorry, Marian. Oh. But to irritate, oh, not good either. Oh, to man. Annoy Marian Hossa was Corey Perry. And that's, so he's not near the top of my list. But for me, because of where he's been throughout his career, and because of the moments he's had against the Hawks, it's hard for me to pick anyone aside from Chris Pronger.
Yeah.
A perpetual St. Louis Blue, another guy who was just freaking awesome at hockey and didn't need to. He was Victor Hedman with an attitude, you know, and the whole series against Philly was he was a big pain in the ass to play against and just reignited that hatred for him. It's really to see what he went through after his career was harrowing, like almost having to like live in a dark room and go through all that stuff. But it seems like he's kind of out the other side and things have gotten a little bit better for him. But that's a guy who was supremely impacted by concussions. But when he played, just a pain in the ass for every reason. He could hit you, he'd cheap shot you, and he could defend like no one else. The guy was a great player, but a big pain in the ass and a huge dick, and I hated him.
Yeah, I hated Chris Pronger long before it was cool to hate Chris Pronger in 2010. Like, I was on that bandwagon in the 90s.
I even hate Sean Pronger by association.
I hate three-prong power cord.
I don't use forks.
Sporks all the way.
Right.
Skokes in the chat had Shane Doan. That's a name we didn't bring up.
Oh, Shane Doan's a good one.
I hated Shane Doan. But I actually met him a couple years ago, and I was scouting for junior leagues. He, his son Josh, who is now I believe a brand ambassador for our Phoenix.
Yeah.
He was coaching his son's junior team, and I met him and talked to him. And he really nice guy, changed my opinion. But when he was on the ice, yes, him and those damn elbows, I hated him. There's always an elbow.
He just
got
away with a lot of fucking.
You know who
shots.
He reminds me of a lot? Who has a lot of Shane Doan in him? A guy that had a couple goals last night, Gabriel Landeskog.
Yep.
Modern day Shane Doan.
Yeah.
Great player, but has no problem putting an elbow in your temple if he has to.
Yeah. And one player that I always hated, for, like you said, Jay, about moments against the Hawks is Alex Burrows.
Oh my God!
Just the definition of a pudwack, and yeah.
that might actually be insulting to other pudwacks.
The rivalry between Chicago and Vancouver in the early 2010s. I mean, you can go up and down the Vancouver list and just say, oh, this guy, hate them all. But Alex Burrows was just a dick.
Yeah.
And he continued to be a dick throughout his entire career.
And he's a coach now.
And the 2011 overtime winner, I hated that.
Yep.
That he scored that. It had to be him, of course.
He's out there
Alex
teaching
Burrows.
Future players.
I was
how
so
to
mad
hair.
I didn't even get a picture of him.
There you go. Not worth it.
The internet, we don't want to get reported.
Well,
we
can't
like
have
that.
A hatred. Well, before you get to your Roman Turk story that you told us about, you can't have a most hated episode without talking, of course, his name's in the chat, Rafi Torres.
Yep.
Oh,
he was on some of those Canucks teams, too.
Yep.
Rafi Torres is a freaking criminal. He deserves to be in a straitjacket in a padded room and beaten with fire hoses on every hour on the hour.
Isn't he also a coach, too?
Why would you want this guy anywhere near your organization for anything? What's he going to teach a hockey player how to do besides kill
Almost
people?
Kill someone.
F this guy. If I ever saw him in the street, I would punch him in the mouth as hard as I can and then run as fast as I could because he would probably hurt me. But I would risk assault and battery charges just to get a shot in on this guy.
He is not coaching now, but I think the guy you might be thinking of, Mario.
Steve Ott.
Is, yes, Rafi Torres Light. Steve Ott.
Oh, yes.
Steve Ott.
That's right.
A guy that once, the funniest thing I ever heard about Steve Ott, somebody on Twitter years ago, I think it was one on the Blues, says, Steve Ott is a guy that totally eats his own boogers.
Yeah, he is a turd, that guy.
Yeah,
And he coaches for the Blues, right?
Yeah.
I believe
Perfect.
So, yeah.
Right on brand for those guys.
That's definitely someone who I forgot, but as soon as you said Steve Ott, I was like, oh, yeah. Completely
very similar, gingery type.
Has anybody ever seen Steve Ott and Steve Zahn in the same place at the same time, though?
I don't think so.
No.
He's also Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball.
Yeah.
He's also Steve
Ott in a Neil Diamond cover band.
Yeah.
Love that movie.
It's a great movie.
It's a terrific movie. All right, I got to get to it because my wife created a YouTube account just to chime in on her hatred for
Hello,
Roman
Hope.
Turek.
Good to see you.
Former, was he Flames mainly, Roman Turek? She just had a hatred.
Blues, Flyers. He was around for a while.
A hatred for Roman Turek that had no real story behind it. She just hated him for no reason. I hate that Roman Turek. Like to this day, and she says like he was just so good against the Hawks. Well, honey, like when we were going to games, everybody was good against the Hawks because the Hawks were terrible. But she hates Roman Turek almost as much as she loves Steve Passmore. Even as a softball coach, she wears Steve Passmore's number 29.
Now there's a name I haven't heard.
That's her guy. That was the first big gift I bought my wife was an authentic Steve Passmore jersey.
The only one ever sold, I'm pretty sure.
They were like, are you sure you want
you
this?
Sure you
I'm
want
like,
that?
Yes.
Is that your brother?
Print it up, Hawk Quarters. Print it up.
Scoreboard, please. Come on.
Yeah, Roman Turek. By the way, the photo she's using in her YouTube picture is her arm in arm with Jake Arrieta. I have been cropped out of that photo.
Yes. I mean, to be fair,
you can't even be mad at that, though.
No, I'm not mad.
You can't be mad at that. I'm not mad. I would crop myself out of a picture with Jake Arrieta.
Yeah.
I would definitely crop Jake Arrieta out of a picture of Jake Arrieta because fuck that guy. But that's a whole
other
story.
Yeah, this was pre Jake losing his mind.
Yeah,
kinda.
Well, he did, though. So
I have to say, I did a bunch of events with him in his Cy Young season. Just bar events, empty bar events. Like me, Jake Arrieta, and like 10 people who didn't even care he was there. Could not have been nicer. Sweetest guy in the world. Super nice to Addy. But then he came back to Chicago as a different dude. It was very, very strange.
Mm.
Who else we have on the list? There's so, I mean, the one that all Hawks fans know of all time is Dino Cicerelli.
Yeah.
That's kind of like.
Sucks. I still have a Dino Sucks button somewhere.
Yeah.
From back in the day.
That's kind of the default most hated player. Goes from the North Stars to the Red Wings. That's a really good way to maintain your hatred in Chicago. And just a guy, another one, really good player, Hall of Famer, which surprised me when we looked that up.
He's got he had amazing numbers.
Yeah, great. But I was like, he seems one of those borderline guys because Larmer's not in, but he is. Yeah. My God. He should be, but so should Larmer.
Maybe Steve Larmer needs to go get the morning paper in his bathrobe to get in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, there you go. That could do it. But yeah, Dino was just always that guy. Like, he would always go over the line of pest. play dirty, cheap shots, nut shots, whatever it took.
Punchable face is absolutely shown on that picture that's on the screen. Somebody
and just a goon name.
Yeah.
Do you know Cicerelli? Like, you cannot be a. You know you're little, first of all. So he's got the little man complex going on.
Very Joe Pesci-esque.
Yeah. He's
hockey's Joe Pesci.
He's like the guy that gets killed in the first episode of The Sopranos for mouthing off to the boss.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Go get your shine box, Dino.
Go get your effing shine box. Yeah. Speaking about a guy, like, that's why I hated Brendan Shanahan as a player, because he went from the Blues to the Red Wings.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm.
So
that's
it's like,
one.
You know, screw that guy.
It's NHL player safety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is it now? Is George Parros still
the George Parros, guy? Yeah, is still leading that.
He'll be replaced by Rafi Torres.
Leading that charge.
Another small guy.
Yeah. Yes.
Theo Fleury.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons to hate this guy.
There was a game against the Hawks. It was the year Chris Simon was on the Blackhawks, so whatever year that was, where he was being such a dick on the ice that it was the first time I considered going on the ice during a game.
I wouldn't recommend that.
And physically assaulting Theo Fleury. He was just... after the whistle, slash to the ankle, you know, nut shot, and he got away with all of it. He had a way of, not never, but very often not getting caught with the cheap stuff he was doing. And another guy who was a fantastic player. And I was actually very excited when the Hawks got him. And then I met him. They brought him in, because this is when the Hawks were on the score. They brought him in like preseason to do an interview with Jesse Rogers on a pregame show. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go meet him. And I walked in, I'm like, he's out of it. Like, he was just like, good to meet you. Like, he was, like, sleepy and sweaty, and it was just, well, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, look, that guy has been through
He's got his
hell.
Demons. There's no doubt about
I
that.
I mean, if you don't know the Theo Fleury story, you want to feel horrible about life, pick up his book. It's harrowing. He talks about, like, picking up drugs next to a dead body in Chicago. Like, just... And, I mean, that's late in his career, not to mention all the things he endured in junior hockey. Just another example of a victim of hockey's horrible culture. But, you know, and then his post-hockey career kind of did, like, the born-again thing a little bit and was doing motivational stuff, and now he's gone really, really far right wing again. Maybe not again, but that's where he is now. So these guys, they've got a lot of demons, and a lot of stuff has happened to them.
We're
not
trying to
excuse
hate these
it,
guys. We're not trying to like feel bad for him.
No, we said he went way right wing, so he's back in the hate column.
Yeah, no, it's but I mean, you know, him specifically, his story is
it's
tough.
Yeah, it's a very tough life.
He's got a reason for why he was such a jag. Like, some of these guys are jags to be jagged, but then when you read about all the stuff he went through, you're like, okay,
right.
I could totally. It's not forgivable, but it's more understandable. He had a lot of pent-up aggression.
You can see why someone ends up acting.
But at the time it was going on, you had no idea. And you were like, this guy needs to get hit by a bus.
Speaking of which.
Yeah. There he is. Ty Domi, another guy.
Another little guy with a lot of anger.
Another meathead. And his kid stinks, too.
He is the meatiest meathead ever. That fight with him and Probert, when Domi was on the Rangers, Probert was on the Red Wings. Probert, who is the all-time heavyweight champ, in my opinion, is just pounding away at Domi. And the angle you have on screen is Probert's got his left arm extended, and you can't see Domi's face, but he's got Domi bent over, and Probert's reaching with the right, uppercut, 8, 9, 10 in a row, and Domi turns, and Domi's laughing. He's eating right uppercuts from Bob Probert at full power, and Domi gets up with a smile on his face. That guy is a cement head. Yeah. Literally. Like, it's crazy.
There was the time he pulled the fan into the penalty box. It started
That was the fan's fault.
I appreciate that about him.
But, yeah.
It's like the one moment I liked him.
Yeah. But Domi and Probert, they went at it dozens of times. There's a whole website devoted to them duking it out. So, yeah. Ty Domi was impossible to like.
I also had a phase, and my wife brings it up on the chat here again, where I hated Jeremy Roenick because I was so hurt by his leaving. And there was a time he came to Chicago and fought Mark Bell. And Mark Bell actually kind of whooped his ass.
ABC line.
I got very excited about that. Like, in that moment, still Roenick is my all-time favorite.
There's a lot of people that still hate Chris Chelios for getting traded to the Red Wings. So I get that.
Yeah.
We still all have our inner meatball that comes out.
Well, Chelios, I forgave him in my book because I did some reflection. But Chelios had a knack for just rubbing it in Hawks fans' faces. Like, hey, let me bring the cup to Wrigley in my Red Wings jersey. It's like, right. Just stay in Detroit, well, dude.
Was that rubbing it into the Hawks fans' face or just rubbing it into the Hawks organization?
See, to me at the time, it felt like it felt personal to me. But reflecting on how that all went down, it was a big FU to the Wirtz family, as it should have been.
Absolutely, and kudos for doing that.
Oh, yeah, Chris Chelios is done. He's got no hockey left, and he played, 20 years or something in Detroit?
He played more for the Red Wings than he did for the Blackhawks.
Yes, he did. Yep.
How about Jason in the chat suggesting Jumbo Joe Thornton? His appreciation for him changed after all those cross-checks to Taves' back.
I never hated him.
See, I did. I definitely did after all that Taves stuff. I'm with Jason.
I'm having a really hard time remembering this player's name, and I'm gonna smack myself in the face.
You hate
when I remember
him so much, you forgot his name.
Oh my gosh! He played on the Blackhawks
in your head
in the early 2000s. Matthew Barnaby. Matthew Barnaby
was not
Sabres legend.
One of those players that would just instigate and play. I think the thing that, I don't know if we've really talked about this too much, but guys that just play that role of the heel and lean into it, you can kind of respect it a little bit. That's a guy who did exactly that.
I feel like that made him a better player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he knew he wasn't going to be a Hart Trophy winner based on his talent. So he did what he had to do to stay in the league.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of guys that embraced the heel role, nobody did that better than Sean Avery. Sean Avery was not a talented hockey player to NHL standards. I don't want to say, he made it to the NHL. You got to have a lot of talent to get that far. But he's a guy that said, listen, I'm not going to be an all-star. I'm not going to be a 40-goal scorer. But I'm going to stand and wave my stick in front of Marty Brodeur. And there's that a rule. When you get a rule made, when you're such a dick that the league has to make a rule to make sure you can't be that big of a dick, mm-hmm. you've achieved quite something there.
That was like such a surreal moment. It was like a video game glitch.
Yeah.
He's just facing Brodeur, swinging a stick in the air, there was no play happening that would require that. He was just trying to piss off Martin Brodeur.
You'd always see, get to the front of the net,
yeah, right.
Take away the goalie's eyes, but not literally put your fists in their eyes.
That was me and my sister in the back seat on a family vacation. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that was. And that was a guy that wanted to be a bad guy 24/7. Mm-hmm. He was like Razor Ramon on ice skates. He was just like, he embraced it.
He knew how to keep his job.
But even off the ice, he was like, yeah, I'm this guy 24/7. And you know what? Credit to him, he carved a very long NHL career and cashed quite a few large checks.
Fashion icon, I believe, right?
Allegedly. Oh. I don't know. I don't pay attention to that.
Good name in the couple good ones. Dr. Horror Show brings up Darian Hatcher, who...
Yes.
Just destroyed Jeremy Roenick.
I hate him.
Broke his jaw.
Oh, that was bad.
Claude Lemieux has not come up somehow, which is a miracle. That's a guy who had a career playing dirty.
I love those Avs teams because of the nature of the Red Wings, so I kind of liked them.
Yep. Speaking of the Red Wings, very sorry for what happened to you, Vladimir Konstantinov, but you were a massive prick when you played.
Yes, he was.
I hated you as a player, and again, tragic that you were in a car accident, but F that guy, man. he was the worst. And he looked like a Bond villain.
Yeah.
Like, when you thought, Russian villain, it was Vladimir Konstantinov.
Yeah.
He looked like Red Skull, kind of, from the Marvel things.
Yes.
And another Red Wing, who, kind of on the Barnaby thing, this is one of the guys, was it the same year, where it was Adrian Acoin, Barnaby, and Martin Lapointe were brought in to show leadership to the Blackhawks? Yeah. That was a Dale Talon move, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Lapointe was another one who was kind of a POS for the Red Wings. Some talent, good level of talent, but as the Hawks always did back then, you're a third liner in Detroit? Come be our star player here.
We've had a lot of guys like that, like Sean Burr and Joey Coker.
Ugh.
And
even
Chris Draper was a guy that was hard to cheer for.
I'm trying to see, is that the same year?
That would be what, five?
I don't know.
That was before Talon.
It was Barnaby and Curtis Brown.
Curtis Brown.
That was that free agent class. Then it was Cullimore, Barnaby, Acoin, and Lapointe.
Cullimore. Oh, I love these.
Because, we like to get those Red Wing guys. I mean, we got Probert. We got Martin Lapointe. Remember the Paul Eisenbart era?
How about the Paul Coffey era?
All 10 games. All 10 games.
He's like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. He's like, I think you should leave.
Trade me right effing now.
I don't want to be around anymore. Wow, it's 12 o'clock already. We got to wrap this up. That was great fun. Maybe we'll have to do a part two.
Should I show just quickly the other photos that we've
got? Yeah, there was so much hatred, we couldn't fit it all into one photo.
We had Tom Wilson.
Absolutely. That's
another guy who doesn't need to do it, but does.
Yep.
Let's see, who else didn't we show here?
Tom Wilson's
this
a great one.
Hud
Wackington.
Darius Kasparaitis. I hated this guy just because of his name. He sounds like an upper respiratory infection.
Darius Kasparaitis. I gave him the finger when he was on Pittsburgh, and he summoned me to the ice.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Did you go?
I hope not.
I saved that for Theo Fleury.
Ulf
Samuelsson put Kirill Kaprizov through the boards, almost killing Wayne Gretzky's wife.
Yeah.
Wow.
Remember that? Then Ulf Samuelsson had to go to the Rangers bench and be like, Wayne, I think I might have hurt your wife.
former Blackhawks assistant coach.
Yeah.
Yep. I chose this photo of him, though, because I like the Whalers.
Guy, you can never have too much
Whalers.
Of the whale.
Gotta love the whale.
That's great.
Good Whalers.
Well, that was a lot of fun. Well, maybe we'll revisit later in the summer and say part two of your most hated.
The list is long.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that show. We certainly enjoyed bringing it to you. And if you enjoy CHGO, one way to help us to continue to grow is to download the PointsBet app and use the code CHGO when you sign up. Not only will you get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but make a $50 or more first-time deposit, and you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. And remember, you can actually download the PointsBet app right now and register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. You'll be signing up with the fastest sportsbook easier than ever, so you can start living your bet life in seconds. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Tomorrow's show will be pre-taped. We're going to record it tonight around 5 p.m. We're going to do our player evaluations of Boris Kachuk and Taylor Radish. We're also going to talk to Brian Hedger, who will give us a preview on Brad Shaw, another Blackhawks coaching profile. So that will be out around 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, but it will be pre-recorded, so we will not have a reaction to the NHL awards. We'll get to that on Thursday's show.
No YouTube show tomorrow because we'll be at the big tailgate party.
Yeah,
tailgate.
We'll be at the tailgate. Join us at the official CHGO tailgate, 11:30 in Lot B at the Joan, at the Cell, at the G-Rate, at Comiskey, at whatever you call it. Come find us.
We're going to call it CHGO Stadium for the day.
Yeah, officially sold out our deal, but please come visit us in Lot B.
You can come to the game. You can still
get tickets, just not the case meet.
Being told in my ear that, yes, indeed, there are tickets available for this afternoon Wednesday White Sox game.
Yes, not through us.
Shocking.
But easily at the windows.
And we want to thank Weber Grills and Green Ridge Farms for their help in the event. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to eat so many encased meats. I'm bringing extra blood pressure medication just to be safe.
I'm bringing an extra a bigger size of pants just in case.
Yeah, wear the elastic waist.
Elastic waistband.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, we'll see you tomorrow at the Cell. We will talk to you tomorrow on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. Have a great day. Stay cool, stay inside, and just turn on the YouTube and watch all the great CHGO podcasts as they come your way. For Mario and Greg, I'm Jay. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, Come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.